The tune is titled Icarus, and it seems to live up to its name, evoking the sense of soaring and the feeling of flight. It's an oh-so-popular tune by guitarist Ralph Towner, and the title track from an album by the Paul Winter Consort, so popular, in fact, and so evocative of flight, that the Apollo 15 astronauts took the record to the moon and, we're told, named a crater for it. What if we were to use the tune in this arrangement as a kind of guided meditation? Could we say that the shimmering, crystalline sound of the vibraphone might suggest a sunlit stretch of spring-fed lake? And could we imagine the fluid flight of a magnificent eagle far above, but still reflected in the mountain lake? Or, to use an archaic term, the eagle as reflected in the mountain mirror? Oh, and that's a great name, Eagle's Mirror, a quaint community in the mountains of Sullivan County here in Pennsylvania, with a mirror-like lake and an array of raptors. A home away from home for years for families, especially from Philadelphia, and a place where residents care deeply about the natural beauty that surrounds them and the human-made beauty of the arts, especially music. If we return to this tune that's been setting the tone for us, Icarus by Ralph Towner, in a feature on NPR's Weekend Edition Sunday from April by Tom Cole, we hear from musician Paul McCandless, a longtime colleague of Ralph Towner. And he says, "These pieces that Ralph created, I always say that if you change one note, it wouldn't be as good. Similar to the way that Mozart and his music are irreducible. I think Ralph's gift for melody and singable melodies really transport the listener to another world." Words of musician Paul McCandless on NPR. And we're certain that many residents of Eagle's Mirror might just describe their special spot as another world. Another world made all the more beguiling by music. This music, and music, say, of Mozart. This is music from Mozart's Piano Trio in B-flat major, Kreschel 502, performed by the esteemed ensemble, the Philadelphia Trio. As it happens, the Philadelphia Trio was featured the very first year the Eagle's Mirror Friends of the Arts came into being, and the group's cellist, Debbie Reeder, has been a long-time resident of the community, founding a summer classical music camp in Eagle's Mirror and playing there season after season with the Philadelphia Trio and now Kammermusik Mainline. She has invited the two performers we've just been hearing on Icarus, violinist Diane Monroe and vibraphonist Tony Maselli, to join her this Saturday evening at the David Dwyer Center in Eagle's Mirror for a program bringing jazz and classical music together. Debbie Reeder has been a cellist with the Philadelphia Orchestra. She also performed with the Pennsylvania Ballet Orchestra, where she first met classically trained Diane Monroe, who now performs as a violinist in many genres, as an improvising violinist. We had a chance to speak by phone with Debbie Reeder and Diane Monroe before they perform as part of the 2017 season of the Eagle's Mirror Friends of the Arts this Saturday night.
I'm sitting here looking at the brochure for the Friends of the Arts. It's our 43rd season of the Eagle's Mirror Friends of the Arts. 1974 would have been the very first year. And I was part of the first group that ever played for the Philadelphia Trio. And we were there for quite a few years. Just the last few years, I've sort of merged it into what I call Kammer Music Mainline, because we have some concerts around here too. And the thrust of that organization is to perform unusual repertory for a varied combination of instruments. So sometimes it would be, as last year at Eaglesmere, harp and flute and cello, or sometimes it's been guitar or all kinds of things. And I've done that here too at the Mainline Unitarian Church, which is sort of our home base in the Philadelphia area. But last fall, I got what I thought was a brainstorm to have a crossover concert with Diane Monroe, who is classically trained from Curtis, but she's a big name in the jazz world. And this Tony Michelli, who is also really a fantastic vibraphone player. So we did that here in the main line, and then I was able to convince, I didn't have to do too much convincing, actually, the Friends of the Arts people to bring it there. And I think it's going to be great. So over those years, the Philadelphia Trio has been the mainstay. We started out with that one little concert in the Presbyterian Church, and then the next year we went to two. And they added various sundry jazz things, such as Durf Noldy, who is no longer with us, unfortunately. We've had some bluegrass. There's a clarinetist playing this year who's been there every year for the last several. His name is Dan Levinson. He's from New York. But this is really what's sometimes referred to as straight-ahead jazz, I think.
Diane, it's wonderful to have you with us today. How did your life come together as both classical and jazz?
That's a very interesting question. And really, I do all what I do to music. And good music is often cited in all corners of the world. And we only have, as a classical artist growing up, I know that I was only in that world. And in order to survive, that's what we do mostly. And so I didn't really have an opportunity, or I'll say this, I didn't take the opportunity to really combine the whole of my upbringing with what I was doing on the violin at the time. I grew up listening to all kinds of music, and culturally, of course, in the African American community, and having a mother and father and uncle who were raised in New York in Harlem across the street from the Savoy Theater, and listening to people like Ella Fitzgerald and Thelonious Monk for the first time, and dancing to Duke Ellington's band. Mm. Of course, I was a child who grew up listening to all of their music, plus listening to all of the music that I ended up playing in school. But I'd like to sort of interject the idea that all of those, quote, jazz musicians who we listened to also had to study, if not on their own, somewhere, the music of cultures around the world, and Western Europe being one of them. So to be a consummate jazz musician, that's what they do. That's what you do, you know, to gather music, to gather information, because that's what a good musician does. Any good musician from the classical era does this. Any good musician like Andre Previn, for instance, just to name one out of very many wonderful musicians who not only appreciate the supposedly both sides of the track, but really understand the music. They study musics of different cultures because that's who we are. You know, we are music as a whole, not as a part. And I think that we lose that opportunity when we're in the classical world for the most part. Now, I'm not saying all the time. And I think that this trend now, especially with string players, to be able to improvise and stretch out, that's where it's going now. That's where we're finding ourselves, finding these different cultures, cultural palettes, you know, to grab onto. Why? Because, again, I feel that's who we are, you know. So growing up and listening to all of that music besides Bach, Beethoven, Brahms, and Mozart, you know, along the way, I picked up various and sundry guides and mentors who would, you know, ask me to play. Max Roach, for instance, for one, the famous jazz drummer, drummer. And that's really how it happens. You know, you get opportunities to sit in certain situations, and then you make decisions. I made a decision to be in the Max Roach Double Quartet and therefore the Uptown String Quartet, which was called a crossover group, and to further meld my interests together and understand where I came from in terms of all of the music that I listened to when I was really, really young as a child. It allowed me to, you know, connect in that way. And further along, is just recently, really, I guess the Max Roach years sort of ended at 2000 for us, at the year 2000. And then I went on my own and would give recitals with a classical player and a jazz player, or if they were gifted, there would be one pianist who did both, and we would give recitals in college campuses and what all. I want to clarify something, though. I am not necessarily a big name in the jazz world. It's just that I have been really, really fortunate and blessed to have incredible jazz musician artists around me who recognize whatever gifts I have been endowed with to play both sides of the track. And so most recently, I've been able to seriously commit myself to learning more in depth about improvisation and especially the era of what's happening in the 40s and 50s in what we call jazz.
I have to tell you just a little background of myself jazz-wise. I love jazz, but I didn't really know much about it. There are two influences. One was, which I think I talked to you about, Diane, was getting to know Trudy Pitts and Mr. C in Atlantic City. They were playing in a lounge at one of the casinos. And I started listening to it because it was in between shows. And I really liked it and became good friends with them. Then I'd left the orchestra, Philadelphia Orchestra, but I was doing a lot of substituting. And I think one of the very first things that ever took place in the Mann Music Center when it opened was Sarah Vaughan singing with the orchestra. I had heard of her, but I thought either where has she been or where have I been? This is a musical epiphany, and I put her up as a musical idol for myself. You know, that's what we try to do. So that's my interest in jazz, and I think I have probably more jazz recordings than classical. I do have specific types of likes, and there are people like Sarah Vaughan and Ella Fitzgerald, of course, and Mel Torme. Many times they're vocalists I'm talking about.
In terms of sound and what you can bring as a violinist to the jazz mix, what does that bring to the overall conversation, do you think?
Beautiful question, yeah. Well, first of all, you know, the violin is always likened to the voice in all areas of music. And so we are endowed with the notion of being flexible with sound and being able to emit multiple qualities of beauty. And the bow, you know, as it sustains, it's unlike the other instruments in the repertoire in the jazz world a lot, except for, of course, the double bass, which is bowed beautifully by some historically, like Paul Chambers, for instance. He played Coltrane and many, many others, and Miles and everybody. You know, he bowed quite beautifully. So we get a glimpse of that every once in a while, like you said, with Venuti and, of course, Stefan Grappelli and of course, Duff Smith. You can't leave him out. He used to play with Nat King Cole in the 30s and 40s. You know, he sang and played trumpet. He was really a lovely talent. And so his talent and abilities, you know, showed also, Duff Smith, that it showed that you can sing on this instrument and bring so much to the various bands that he played in. And that being said, on the more difficult note, the fact that the fiddle, as we know, is one of the hardest instruments to play, period, you know, to master, at least, period. And so we have, you know, a hard task ahead of us, especially to improvise in that way. A lot of the time, depending on what time period of music you're playing, it's very difficult to emulate the ones who were innovators, necessarily, to emulate those beautiful voices that Debbie was talking about, the Sarah Vaughan and Ella Fitzgerald, and also the beautiful voice of Charlie Parker, Coltrane, and Dizzy Gillespie, and Monk. I mean, you know, that's hard music. That's certainly a lifetime worth of learning, and I'm humbled again and again to, you know, have a group. We also, Tony Maselli and I, have the group Quartet as well as Septet as well as our duo, and I'm humbled every time I go to it, and that I'm the only solo voice, so to speak, the one who has to get to play the melody 98% of the time. You know, you have to really sing. You really have to channel those old guys and women. You know, you really have to think about it, your intent, in order to get that beauty, because what's been established already is that sound, that, you know, lush, really harsh sometimes, but lush other times sound of the saxophone and percussion sound of the piano and the guitar. And it's different. Bowing is different.
So, you mentioned bass players. Didn't Charlie Hayden use the bow a lot, didn't he?
He sure did. He's a beautiful player. And he used to play a lot with Hank Jones, who was a pianist, and they made this album. I'll never forget. They made this amazing album together one year of spirituals and hymns. Oh, it's off. It's just a duo record. If you get a chance to pick it up, it's, oh.
What do you each love about playing with the talents of Tony, the sound of the vibraphone?
He is such an artist. And I think we'll have some of your CDs for sale, hopefully, with you, alone together, which is just fantastic. It's just the two of you, the sound of violin and vibraphone.
Thank you so much. Oh, my goodness. Well, you know, when we first started playing together, I just thought I was going to have to run and hide because it was so difficult to get to match that gorgeous sound. It was so difficult, and I worked so hard to be able to blend. We both worked hard.
It sure worked.
I wish that I could summon up Stephen Zappelli because he played duos with Gary Burton, and I wish that I could summon up his thoughts, and I wish they had had an interview about what the process was, the wind of matching sound. That ring, that reverberation, is nothing like the bell, and to match it with the bow.
We are also going to play at the Presbyterian Church in Eaglesmere Sunday morning. That's going to be beautiful in that little church. The acoustics in there are just so amazing.
Yeah.
Solid wood. Everything's wood.
There's the church service at 10 on Sunday morning. That's the 9th of July at 10 at the Presbyterian Church in Eaglesmere. But the concert itself is at 8 o'clock on Saturday night, this Saturday night at the Dwyer Center, as you said, Debbie. Tell us what kinds of things we'll get to hear then on Saturday night.
Well, it's mostly Diane and Tony. But I will do, with Diane, the famous from the Villa-Lobos Vulcanios Brothers. It's originally for soprano and eight celli, but there's various and sundry other versions of it. So that'll be with the three of us, that's very sure. And Tony and I will do the Swan with the vibe playing the piano part. And then the only other thing that I'm involved in is something from the Claude Bowling Suite for cello and jazz trio. I think the flute one is better known, but the rest of the program is Tony and Diane.
And we'll be doing pieces not only from our CD, that was a few years back now, I think we finished that in the end of 2013, the beginning of 2014.
That's the one called Alone Together.
Alone Together, that's right. And in addition, we'll do some other jazz pieces that we've been working on for our live shows. We bring the music that we're each comfortable with. You know, ironically, he brought a piece to me, that was the Bachian, although I had heard it many, many, many times, played for eight celli and soprano. He arranged it, and he wanted to play it for the duo. And ironically, I brought one of my favorite jazz guitarists, Ralph Towner. I brought the piece at Icarus to him for us to play. And so we're always listening out for each other, and also, you know, to create works for ourselves to play together.
A conversation with cellist Deborah Reeder of the Philadelphia Trio and violinist Diane Monroe, speaking with us as part of the 2017 season of the Eaglesmere Friends of the Arts. They'll be performing with vibraphonist Tony Maselli, and that's this Saturday night, July 8th, at 8 o'clock at the David Dwyer Center, and that's in Eaglesmere, Pennsylvania, in Sullivan County. And as we heard, they will rise and shine on Sunday morning and be part of a service at the Presbyterian Church at Eaglesmere as well. cellist Deborah Reeder, violinist Diane Monroe, and vibraphonist Tony Miceli, a program of mixed styles of jazz and classical music this Saturday, July 8th at 8 p.m. at the David Dwyer Center in Eaglesmere, Pennsylvania, in Sullivan County. For more information on the web, emfoa.org, emfoa.org. It's the David Dwyer Center, 891 LaPorte Avenue in Eaglesmere. And it's part of the 2017 season of the Eaglesmere Friends of the Arts, the 43rd season. They will continue on Saturday, July 15, with Sons of Pirates, which is a Jimmy Buffett tribute band. On Saturday, July 22nd, Dan Levinson returns. He's a trad jazz clarinetist, and he will be there with vocalist Molly Ryan and great tunes, Dixieland feel from the New York jazz scene, the current New York jazz scene. They go to Mona's and play and enjoy the scene there. And Dan Levinson, a respected clarinetist, returning with vocalist Molly Ryan on Saturday, July 22nd at 8. There's a comedy and magic show with Eric Buss on Saturday, July 29th at 8 at the Dwyer Center. Saturday, August 5th at 8, it's Vocal Trash, Glee Meets Stomp, and that's sponsored in part by the Eaglesmere Conservancy. We mentioned that Eaglesmere folks are very, very concerned with the environment and the beauty of the natural world there in Eaglesmere. Sunday, August 13th at 4, it's Music in the Mountains, and we return to Deborah Reeder. Deborah Reeder is a founder of Music in the Mountains, which was a wonderful camp for young musicians in the summer in Eaglesmere, and so former students of the Philadelphia Trio Workshops will return for a reunion on Sunday afternoon, August 13th at 4, to present chamber music at the Dwyer Center. And then Saturday, August 19th at 8 p.m., it's Davina and the Vagabonds. I guess it's Davina, D-A-V-I-N-A. Davina Sowers and the Vagabonds, and they're on a national tour. And they have influences ranging from Fats Domino to the Preservation Hall Jazz Band to Aretha Franklin and Tom Waits. That's the season of the Eaglesmere Friends of the Arts, the 43rd season. And there are many more ancillary activities that the Eaglesmere Friends of the Arts engage in this season, but that's the performance season. And if you need more information, you're welcome to check the website at emfoa.org, emfoa.org. And you can hear them at the Dwyer Center. And that's at 8 o'clock this Saturday night. And it's Deborah Reeder, the esteemed cellist, Diane Monroe, the violinist, and the vibraphonist, Tony Miceli. And they'll be there playing a great array of music. For more information, on the web, emfoa.org.